ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town, on a Tuesday? A lovely Tuesday in the soon-to-be third-largest city in America. Barry Laminack is back, live and in living color. And to my right, through the window, is the, well, I would say somewhat still depressed about the fact that he's out of his element now, Nick Sciarra. You're going to speak? You're still off, you know.
That's my bad.
Okay.
Go ahead now.
There we go. Hey! Thanks.
My bad.
So now we're all back.
I thought you were sending me a sign like, you know what? You can be here. Just don't talk.
Yeah.
We've been sending that sign for a long time. It's just a matter of when you get the signal.
Touche. It finally sunk in. Why are you depressed now?
Out of his element. Because he was setting up dates, rolling like a big balla, controlling the entire George R. Brown juggalo tray. Was like, how many numbers did you get and how many dates? And, you know, because he was living large and rolling.
Right.
And now he's just back in the windowed cell.
I do feel like I'm living large when I'm on Radio Row. It feels different.
I can see that. I think the other
I'm
thing,
I'm not living
too,
large
is,
at all, but I'm just saying it
no,
feels
but
like
I mean,
it.
Yeah, but you could see you were having a lot of fun. You killed it, obviously. You and Kirsten were fantastic.
Dude,
and
I hope you guys got some sort of like thank you card or something for the job you guys did.
I'm sure they'll
you,
take
you
that.
You got a lot of shout-outs, though.
Oh, yeah,
and appreciation
for sure.
Like, us and people at the station.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, the thing that still kind of mesmerizes me, and I was talking to some of my NBA buddies that are now in radio and with the NFL, and I said, what's funny is, you know, especially when you do a finals or even an all-star game, for the all-star game, which is bigger than the finals media sessions, the all-star game, they have one media session, and every player has to be there, every participant. But they're at a table in a ballroom, and people are still like, I got five questions I got to ask him because I got a story done. And then you see that Monday night at Minute Maid, and you realize it's such a worldwide, anything-goes spectacular. It's almost expected that people are going to clown you and say ridiculously dumb questions to you. And the players seem to like that because it takes the edge off. As opposed to, you know, are you guys going to go pick up half court, and how are you guys going to guard the high post, low post, you know, all those like technical questions in sports.
Right.
Because like you see wedding proposals for Brady and sign this and would you do that? And Kimmel's guy is out there doing what he's doing. And, you know, and Inez signs is walking backwards to make sure everybody sees her. And, you know, it's just crazy.
Guys are walking around asking if this is a must win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still might be the greatest question. Joke or not, still the greatest question that you could ask anybody about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, we were all saying it's just so much different when you go sport to sport to see like that. I like that. I like the fact that, yes, there's still going to be those questions asked, but there's also going to be a lot of kind of fun and entertaining stuff. And I think from a player's perspective, it really does. It takes the edge off a little bit so that because they know from Wednesday on it's going to be like, you know, lockdown. At least they get to have a little fun too.
Well, that was my goal on Radio Row. Raheel gave me some great advice. He was like, man, don't ask him about the game. Like, everybody is asking him. Ask him something different. Be, you know, have fun with it. And that was the best advice that anyone gave me. Because it was my first Radio Row.
Mine too.
And it's so tempting to just be like, oh, well, who's going to win? And how are you going to win? And what are you going to do? And ask those same boring questions that every other station is asking.
Right.
So, yeah, man, I appreciate Raheel's, you know, looking out for me and helping me figure out what to do.
Which was cool. I mean, I take a couple that really come to mind in that regard, but like Roger Saffold, the lineman for the Rams. But then we just started having fun with him and his wife and teaching the kids and gaming and, you know, all those different things. And it also seemed like, you know, he loosened up. Ricky Jean-Francois was another one where, you know, he was like, he's going to ask me about the game again. But we started asking about his Dunkin' Donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And some other things. And by the end of it, they were like, John Brinkus from Sports Science, he wanted to come. He came back like three times. He was like, this was my most fun I've had in the entire Radio Row. Because it wasn't just question after question about sports science. It was about he and his wife's band and all these other things outside of where if you just take a little time to delve into the guy's background a little bit. And look, there were also those ones that were dropped on us that we didn't know were coming that aren't going to make win any awards. And I'm sure no one got anything out of.
Yeah.
Astronaut. But you know, I'm not going to name any names. But
who was your favorite? Who was your favorite interview that we did? Or that you guys, that you maybe did on Monday?
So for the whole week. Yeah. So for the whole week, favorite one interview. I'm going to say Herm Edwards.
Really?
I just like the way Herm is just so blatantly honest about everything.
He was intense, man.
Yeah, I like that.
When you look in his eyes, that's a man that stares you directly into the eyes.
Yep.
Like, there's no, like, when he talked to us, it was 100% eye contact. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, when he talks to you,
well, I watched
that's
him a couple
it was
times.
Very
he was,
intense.
You had asked him a question. He was so dialed in on you. It was like he was trying to get you to figure out what to do on press coverage on a third down.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he was
it
like.
It freaks you out because you're like, am I saying something stupid right now? What's going on? Because in your mind, you're trying to focus, but you're like, wait a minute, why is he looking at me like that? Did I just say something dumb? What am I saying right now? I don't even know what I'm asking because you're talking and thinking that at the same time.
I'm trying to think. I just said Herm because, you know, I lose track of all the people we interviewed because we interviewed so many. But who was yours?
I think my favorite was Fitz and the Tantrum.
Well, so was Nick's.
Dude, that was such a blast. Like
how humble were they?
They're good people.
And it wasn't like we didn't talk really sports because it was different. And it's just, man, that was a lot of fun.
But for them, it's the opposite. They probably want to talk sports more than, but we got their background. We got their sports. We got everything. But what's crazy was I had no idea any of their songs. And Saturday afternoon, I'm coming back from the gym. And I'm flipping on satellite radio, and Fitz and the Tantrums comes on with Hand Clap. And I immediately text Nick, and I go, okay, I got it now. And I go, and it's actually good. It's got a pretty good beat, and it's pretty catchy. And Nick was like, I got a couple more I could send you. But I was like, okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, go look up Roll Up, too. That's another good one. Okay. That's the one that's in Madden.
Yeah, they've really made a name for themselves internationally, too, not just in the country. So, yeah, that was a really cool interview.
I missed their pregame performance, but I did catch the Zach Brown Band's pregame.
At the tailgate.
Trapp mentioned that. How was
it? Yeah, Trapp mentioned the fact that the father
dads?
Song was unreal.
That was terrible.
Was it?
Oh, wow.
Like, why start a Super Bowl with a sad-ass song about dads?
So, it was it's a phenomenal song when you start thinking about your dads. But I mean, I get your drift on the fact that
dude,
when you're getting ready
for a Super Bowl.
Okay, so then let's go right to the fact that Fox having the pregame show, which is already way too long at 3 hours, but to interject Bill O'Reilly's interview with President Trump, I was just like, can we just stick to football for one day?
Yeah, that and I hate the very first note I made. Because I try to make some notes about stuff I want to talk about. The very first note I made was, no one cares about Howie Long's son. Why are we talking about this? And they're going on about it. And it's like, dude, like...
I disagree.
You disagree about what?
I think people care about the fact they love that whole father, family thing.
Do you know how much time they spend on that?
Oh, I mean, great. Well, then they had the wife on.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
I just saw it.
I didn't care
and it was
for
a nice piece, but here's the thing that I'd
didn't
say about that.
It. Waste of time.
Here's where I would draw the line. They let him leave post game. They let him leave the set early so he could celebrate with his son. See, I'm against that because he's got a job to do that he's paid for that people want to hear from him on. And that's where there's still plenty of time after they get off the air that you can talk. But he just got up like in the middle of the first segment and he went off to be with his son and
but now
the family.
Let me ask you this. Your daughter's name is Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're covering something that Taylor's at that's a big deal like that.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you be like, hey, man, you guys mind finishing this up and I'm going to go be with Taylor?
So finishing this up is different.
That's what they did, though.
He was like on the first segment or something.
No, but there wasn't that much left in the post-game coverage. He left for literally like the last segment.
My wife would be there with her too, but I mean, when you have an obligation like that, I'd fulfill my obligation and then get to him.
Well, I mean, I respect that. I thought that part was okay, but a whole segment on him and his son or his son, dude, he's not.
So that's
even like,
okay, but the segment on him and his son,
I didn't like it.
So there it wasn't multiple segments.
No, but it was pretty damn long.
But the thing that I thought was really
long
odd,
enough, it was long enough for me to make a note that I don't care this much about it for them to
but
be
Nick,
going
now
on
that
like
cats
they did.
Are allowed in the Westminster Dog Show. There is a chance that Barry will have that moment when, as a proud father, he can get. get off the air quick enough having to make sure
cats,
you celebrate.
Having cats at the Westminster Dog Show is like letting dudes waitress at Hooters. What? That doesn't make any sense.
Like, kinda, it kind of reminds me of Radio Row because I'm like, should I take a picture or should I be more professional and not take a picture? But sometimes you're just a fan and it just comes out.
Take a picture. Good Lord. Some people were asking for firstborn.
But it's kind of like that situation. He's obviously a fan of his son winning a Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Here's what I didn't like about the whole thing that I don't know if you guys caught on to. There's more than one child and they play in the NFL. And three of them are in football. Just mention, all the pictures were just the two of them. I'm like, he's not an only child. His other son plays for the Bears. You know, there's three kids all on. Let's just make sure that we look like we have the whole family, not just Howie and Chris. But it's just nothing. All right, let us know what you think. We got a full show, and we love the participation that you guys love to offer up. 713-780-ESPN. That's a text line for Barry to check. That is calls for Nick to take. And, of course, we're all available on Twitter, at Barry is funny, at No Hit Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're here till 4 o'clock, and we do what we do because we are ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 o'clock. I guess before we move any further, Nicholas, is it safe to say that my guess was accurate to verify that your favorite interview throughout the week was?
I didn't want to admit the fence in a tantrum thing yesterday because I know that's what you're trying to get at yesterday.
First of all, I admitted it for you on your Facebook
page.
Yeah,
I know.
So, I mean, am I wrong?
It was a cool interview. Look, Barry liked it.
It was fun. You guys both like girly bands too.
It's not a girly band.
Did you see? But no, they're not. They're just kind of kiddie pop. But at the same time, did you guys see?
It wasn't even that. It was just they were fun.
But they were good people.
They were fun. Cool. They were nice. They were laid back. And it was a fun interview.
I agree.
Getting a joke with them about going on tour with them playing the triangle. Dude, that was a blast. That was way more fun than half of the athletes we had.
I agree with you. But I want to, Nick, was that your favorite?
Probably. It was probably that and Tim Tebow. Probably.
Yeah, you got killed for that yesterday, but I didn't understand that one because I can understand that for you.
Some people, when they, you know, their presence just kind of...
I think Trapp was upset because he's a Florida guy and he's a Florida State guy and that whole thing. Well, I think that plays into it. Well. What was your... Okay, Barry, because I asked all these guys yesterday. Favorite moment of Radio Row?
Okay.
Least favorite moment of the entire week? It doesn't have to be... because we really didn't do the weekend, so I just said Radio Row, but favorite moment of the Super Bowl experience for you and for all of us because it was our first one, and then least favorite.
I don't know that I had a least favorite. I mean, I really didn't have a bad...
I said traffic.
I mean, but, dude, we had Get Me
the
driving
The Get Me was
around.
Phenomenal, and we talked about that, but the biggest thing was, like, Thursday. Thursday traffic, when they started the extra closures and all that other stuff, it just got to be kind of a pain.
But I would just sit and chill in the car or... Like, at one point, I took a nap, I think, when they picked me up to take me to the gal party. I took a nap on the way there. Dude, I can't be mad at that.
Yeah,
I
get that because they had to drive an hour and a half to pick you up.
It was, I didn't have a bad experience.
Okay, your favorite experience.
I probably, because, I mean, we did all the interviews and we've talked about that, but I think, one, it was going around with Nick and doing those interviews and videos. I can't tell you.
That was fun.
How much fun I had doing that because I had never done that before. Mm-hmm. It was a blast.
If you haven't seen the man in the street on the street type video that Barry did with Nick shooting it, check it out online.
You can go to my. So I've tweeted some of them, but you can also on Facebook go to Barry is Funny or just search Barry is Funny on Facebook and it'll take you to my my comedian page where I've been posting them. That was a blast. But then if I had a second. It's got to be having lunch with John Clayton's wife. That was so fun, man. And then they started talking mess about John McClane.
Really?
So, yeah, that was fun. Yeah, yeah. It was great.
He was mentioning it on the air, but you were running around. Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing that was really, really fun for me, and I'll say this, Stephen A. Smith was great, and he could have been a real a-hole, and he was already fired up from some other stuff, but I thought his content was great. But I thought being able to host Mike and Mike and do
that
like
have to be cool,
and interviewing them in the middle of a private gathering and how cool they were, and I thought that the kind of the special credit neatest moment was that Mike from Get Me told that story about being bullied and everything and how Greenberg kind of basically changed his life and kept him from contemplating suicide.
Yeah, that was a cool story.
And that the fact that this is how crazy this business is, but it kind of got Greenberg to realize, and he and I were talking off air, about how you don't realize the impact you have when you think you're just putting on a microphone and doing a radio show. And then to have it go all the way to the point where he mentioned it on Mike and Mike on, I think, Friday morning. And talked about how taken aback he was by it, and it made national radio. And then Mike from Get Me called me and said, Joel, I can't believe the story that you told, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that's how cool it is when radio does what it's supposed to do.
Yep.
That was pretty neat.
Pretty cool. That's a good story.
So there you have it. All right, so we've got a lot going on. I still haven't gotten your feedback on the game itself.
Yeah.
And, of course, the commercials as well. We put an APB out yesterday, and Nick sent the interns to the nearest Quick Marts to see on the back of milk cartons if there is any kind of creative people out there anymore that are in any kind of agency setting where we can get the funny commercials back, because I thought that overall they were really, really bad.
Yeah, there was not that many good ones. I think the avocados from Mexico commercial where they're in the Illuminati meeting, and the guy's like, are you live streaming this right now? He goes, yeah, am I not supposed to? He's like, yeah, that's called secret for a reason. Yeah. That was pretty funny. The buy commercial with Justin Timberlake and I forget his name. Need More Cowbell. What's his name?
Oh, yeah. Christopher Walken.
Yeah. I like that one. Yeah. That was pretty funny. And then there was a couple more in the
consensus
in the second half.
Amongst America.
I was a couple whiskeys in for the second half. So.
Mr. Clean.
That was
kind of
weird.
A lot of people like Melissa, McCarthy.
Eh.
And the high school picture yearbook with the talking mouse.
That wasn't bad.
Which wasn't bad, but some people thought it was creepy. It's like, well, you know, the thing is that we were missing all the big ones, that the big hitters that actually participate.
Doritos was a real bummer.
Doritos
for me.
Missing. Any beer company missing. Any car company missing. Any beverage company.
Well,
Pepsi spent all their money on Gaga.
Yeah, but they had the one Anheuser-Busch commercial where he walked, you know, he came over from Germany or whatever. And
which was just kind of not what
corny.
You expect. Yeah, you don't expect that from Budweiser.
Did you like any of the T-Mobile commercials?
Barry? I didn't think the Bieber one was good.
I'm trying to remember the T-Mobile commercials.
Because there was mixed reviews. Some people liked it. One was with Justin Bieber.
Oh, no, that was stupid.
Yeah.
That was dumb.
I don't have to see it. It was just with Justin Bieber.
No, but I remember that one now where he was dancing.
Right.
That was dumb.
Yeah.
You're right. The amount of funny commercials. Then usually there's one that'll make me cry. Because you guys know how easy I cry. Mm-hmm. Usually there's one commercial every Super Bowl where I'll cry. Nope. I got through the whole Super Bowl with my manhood intact.
I'll tell you what, it's a bad trend.
One made me cry.
It's a bad trend, though, man. Because I think this is the second or even the third year we're talking bad about the Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah,
not saying they're not as funny as they
used to be, that everybody, especially the non-sports people, looked forward to the commercials.
Yeah.
And everybody was killing them.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
What was crazy too was last night on the news, they showed like the Airbnb, where Taylor Swift stayed and where Gaga stayed. Not surprisingly,
oh, that house was awesome.
River Oaks was in
the
mix. I
think I missed that one.
Yeah, the River Oaks. It actually is the Taylor Swift house is a newer house, and it has a lot of windows, and they literally had to go in and put like decal waxing of the windows so you couldn't see in on every window in the house until she left. And then the Lady Gaga one, she was in Memorial and left in a Lamborghini amongst like five cars and yelled, "I love Houston." And yet you looked at the house and it was like, you should staying in a house that looks like a pretty mid-sized castle.
Right.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. Hey, speaking of windows, by the way, Window World, proud sponsor of the show. We love Window World. And if you're in need of, I don't know, anybody that wants to tint your windows, but you know, if you want windows that are great for your house, that meet the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval, that also have Solar Zone Low E that meets Texas energy regulations, or you just need some double pane windows because you're losing your air conditioning or your heating, depending on the time of year here in Houston, you got to talk to the folks at Window World. Why? Because it doesn't cost you a single thing. You got nothing to lose and a ton to gain, and it's all right in front of you. Window World, the number one window company in America. Why? Well, because they offer a lifetime warranty, higher quality product, low price, starts at just $189 a window plus $45 for that solar zone low E. And like I said, it meets Texas energy regulations. But the first step of reducing energy bills, you just call them. Like I said, nothing on the hook for you. They schedule a free written estimate. They come out. They check out what you got. They tell you what you need. They tell you what you could use. They tell you how they can help. There's no hassles, no obligation, no high pressure. It's just a free estimate. Then you make the decision from there. If you feel like you believe what they're selling and you know that it would help you and your house and your energy bills, then you can call them back and you can make a deal. If you do call them, it's 713-439-1172. Or if you want more information on the free estimate, windowworldhouston.com. 713-439-1172 or online, windowworldhouston.com. Window World, simply the best for less. Give them a call.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, I found out something.
Uh-oh.
Nick can
dance. Nick, there's a new beginning.
Nick can dance.
No way.
Go ahead, do your intro. Nick can dance.
Nick.
Yeah.
Can you dance?
I mean, I had a couple drinks in me when we were when we hit up the dance floor.
He absolutely can dance.
Where were you dancing, Nick?
At the Big Texas party.
That's why I texted you. I was like, "Where are you, Joel?"
Dude,
which was
three
phenomenal
of us.
Because I texted back and said, "At home."
I know.
By then,
AJ, Nick, and I got out there and cut several rugs.
To what music?
Everything.
Whatever they had planned.
I'll tell you what. We talked about it yesterday, but.
Sorry, I totally screwed up the intro.
But it's all right.
But
David Gao and the crew, those two parties,
yeah,
fantastic.
Dude, Big Texas Party.
The Big Texas Party was off the hook.
Far exceeded anything I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Far exceeded.
And since they saved us food, I didn't mind going instead of 1 hour, almost 2 hours. But the fact that was one of the highlights of the week for me, too, by the way.
Interviewing the mayor? Yeah, I forgot about that.
Very, very cool.
I forgot about
that. That was very, very... And then for their people to say, we want to stay and get pictures with you guys. And I was like, oh, yeah.
But not even that... interviewing the mayor.
Yep.
But when we were getting ready to take the picture, you know, we all huddled up. Well, he was looking down, I guess, so he didn't step on me. And he looked down and he looks at me and he goes, "Man, those are really nice shoes you got there." I was like, "Oh, thanks." He goes, "No, I'm serious. Those are nice." I was like, "Yeah, yeah. Mayor likes my shoes. What's up?"
Barry's going down to City Hall later this week to have lunch.
Yeah.
Him and Sly are going to get together for cocktails one night.
My dude Sly.
Him and Sly, they're kicking it. It's all good. We made lots of friends this week.
Yeah.
Oh, we did.
Just even in the Gao family alone.
Oh, yeah.
The guys from Miami were fantastic that were doing, you know, the show on the network, and they were real appreciative of us, and we were like, man, we're all under the same roof. It's pretty cool. But I thought that overall, there was a lot of bonding between all three stations, too. But then... Seriously, we made a lot of friends, and not as many as you, Nick, but I mean, we all made friends and got some relationships, but you learn that when people are in the same business as you and they understand what you're up against sometimes, that there's a lot of, there's like sympathy and realizing we're all in the same boat.
Yeah, one of the things I've always said, one of my favorite things about this business is because I got to meet people that I've never met face to face. I had an email or a text relationship with them over the past 2, 3, 4 years, and then you get a... finally get a chance to see him in person. To me, that's one of the coolest parts about the industry.
That was the other thing I learned is Nick is very well connected.
Oh, no doubt.
Nick knows a lot of folks.
But again, because Nick busts his tail 365, like with the network before us, and then I always said we're privileged to have him doing the local stuff on our show, and the fact that he built so many relationships through just what he said, just through phone conversations, that, yeah, it was cool to see people come over to say hi to Nick. I thought that was really neat, too. And like I said, TV just as much as radio, too. I mean, there's a lot of people they put their pants on just like we do, and it was cool that they respected what we did, and a lot of people wanted to come over and chat it up just because we're all in the same boat.
Yeah, it was fun, man. It was a good week. And one of my favorite parts was, and I don't remember if I told this during Radio Row because I don't think I had time, but I know I told it Sunday.
Okay.
But I wanted to tell you guys that when I was sitting down with John Clayton's wife and the other wives, and I didn't know who they were, but they did was brag about how great of a Super Bowl this was from a hosting perspective from the city.
I was just going to go there with you.
They were like, you know, Barry, we've been to, like, each of us has been to over 25 Super Bowls, and this is by far one of the best ever from a host city perspective. She said, I hope you guys guys get it, get into the actual rotation and get it all the time, because this city deserves it and you guys have done a wonderful job. So if you're out there and you're listening and you were a volunteer, congratulations to you. Pat yourself on the back, because I'm telling you, the volunteers did an amazing job.
We started with this yesterday, but between the volunteers, law enforcement,
security,
fire department, all of that, and just the way everybody represented it. And I said,
and
to
how
your
friendly
point,
everybody was.
The volunteers cared because they knew that we got bashed in 04, and they knew that, hey, this is our city, this is our time. And I think they could also sense that with the new George R. Brown, with Super Bowl Live, with everything centrally located. And we talked to the mayor about this. The fact that it was so well organized and it was so like cut and dried. This is where you go for that. This is where you go for this. And the best part about it was the stadium was completely out of the rotation until you had to go to the game. Everybody knew where to go, where not to go, what was going on. And they all took pride in the fact that we're going to make this city shine. And I think that they really did. Last night on the news, from Kerry Champion at ESPN and the ESPN folks to up and down the line, everybody they talked to, this was before the game even, said it was great. And then I was thinking about it in the first quarter, in the first half, going, man, what a bummer that the game's going to suck after Houston knocked it out of the park.
Right.
And then when the game became literally the greatest of all time, it's like, that's what we needed to finish off a phenomenal week.
Yeah. Without a doubt. I mean, you perfectly said, such a great week. And then to have that game go that way just made it an unbelievable Super Bowl experience.
That's why
all
I said
the
to
around.
The mayor on Thursday night, I said, you know, you are the mayor of Houston and you have to run for re-election, but there's a new sheriff in Super Bowl City and his name is Sylvester Turner. Because from top on down, not only did they do it right, but to his credit, he didn't take all the credit for himself. He was constantly spreading around, and that's the sign of a confident guy that knows what he's doing.
I feel like all those guys that have been going to Super Bowls over the past 25 years, they were just expecting a disaster similar to last year's in San Francisco, and people are just – all I could hear about is how bad they were talking about San Francisco.
I said this to the guys yesterday. But the fact that I saw video from 04, because the George R. Brown wasn't ready, because there wasn't a Discovery Green – Main Street was closed down like Bourbon Street, and everybody was trying to find a balcony to set up on if they were going to do like their version of, you know, CNN and ESPN and all that. And it was just one big urine-smelling drunk fest on Main Street. And it's like now I finished by saying that we should be in the regular rotation along with New Orleans and Miami and wherever else and Arizona, wherever they feel like. But I think that they did so much right this week, you have to consider them again.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. I did want some. We were talking commercials, and I totally forgot about this one, and I wanted to bring it up because I didn't want to get past. But sure, Chomsalot tweeted and said the Cam Newton commercial,
which I think
did you like that
unsung
one?
Unsung was the one in my mind.
Dude,
that might have been the best one.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. And
where
I totally forgot.
I'm open. Throw it through the window. Nah, don't do it.
That was really good.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
And Juggalo Trey had a question for you. Did Gaga stay, or did the person renting the house, did Gaga stay in the house with her? Was that like
no.
a thing?
No, they got to leave.
Okay.
I didn't know. But that's why they wouldn't give the exact location for either house, for either Taylor Swift or Gaga, because people were still inhabiting the houses. They just got out of it for them to stay there. And I'm sure they paid a pretty penny for it, too. Now, Travis and I argued about this yesterday, and he said Gaga doesn't get paid for that.
Nope.
But I said she gets paid from Pepsi.
Because it's possible.
Right. So what normally happens is the NFL makes a deal where they don't have to pay anybody anything, but that as part of the deal, their presenting sponsor of the halftime show, Pepsi, will then make a deal with her to get commercials to surround and promote their product as well as the halftime.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think indirectly
she
got paid.
I could see that.
But okay,
especially
so
that kind of production.
And we're going to get your thoughts on the game, too. Yep. But since we're on this, I was very impressed by Gaga. I thought the halftime show was good. Travis thought it was hot garbage and said there should have been locals, and he just didn't like any of it, and that got to be a discussion on the air yesterday. But I was interested in your thoughts on Gaga and the halftime.
I thought it was okay. I gave it a 6.5.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was the worst of all time. I didn't think it was that great. I mean, she came out, she sang, she, you know, committed suicide at the end. She jumped off the steps. I don't know what that was about. She just threw the mic down.
You saw my tweet. I didn't think she got 2 feet in, and after further review, they ruled it incomplete.
She threw the mic down and just jumped off into her death, and that tells you how it went, really. No, I didn't think it was terrible.
I think the luster...
It was okay.
Here's the thing.
It was just okay.
I'm with you. I think 6.5 is a good number for it, but I think the luster and all the buildup of the roof was lost when you find out after the fact it was great TV producing, that they filmed the drones, which I thought the drones were like the greatest part of it. The fact that you could synchronize all those drones to do the flag and all the different things they did. But the fact that that was done like weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that they just staged it to look like she did her opening on the roof and jumped. And then she was in the dark waiting for the cutaway so that they could then bring her down.
I didn't know that was the descended. Case.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah, so the first opening part.
I didn't know either.
When she sings on top of the roof with the skyline behind her and then all the drones doing their thing. That was filmed several weeks ago.
I'm brokenhearted now. It gets a 4.5.
Yeah. See, he brought it up to me yesterday and I felt the same way.
If there was no risk of on-air live
screwing it
catastrophe,
up. Yeah.
It goes down to a 4.5.
There was because she jumped for the pass at the end.
She's definitely no Julio Jones.
No.
That's for sure.
And here's the other thing that I went off on, because we're going to get to the game. We're going to get Barry's thoughts on the game next.
We got a text that said, did you talk about the Super Bowl experience? Some strippers from Atlanta said there's too many broke-ass people in Houston.
They must not have hung out at the airport.
We also got another text that said, this is why people hate Barry. He's just the worst. I don't know.
I don't know what that
is. I don't know specifically for what, but
We're
going to
get Barry's thoughts on the game next. But the one thing that I kept bringing up that I thought fell on deaf ears even yesterday was Julio Jones not only would have gotten credit for two of the greatest catches in Super Bowl history had they won, but the other thing that people forget is that turf toe, which is no joke and doesn't go away in 2 weeks, he was jamming both of those feet down on both those catches and others, and I don't care how much you're shot up with your toes, you can't really shoot them up because you got to feel your feet to be able to do those kind of things. That was pretty impressive what Julio Jones put together, and if not for Edelman's catch and being upstaged by not winning the game, that was a pretty damn impressive performance by Julio Jones. So Barry's comments and his feedback on the game itself coming up next. We want to hear from you as well. 713-780-ESPN gets you in via text or phone call. Or if you want to hit us up on Twitter, we're there as well. We are here all day, every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel, Barry, and Nick, till 4 o'clock as we continue to roll along. We're doing a little catch-up because, of course, we want to get Barry's feelings on the Super Bowl, the commercials, and just our overall experiences, as it was the first Super Bowl and Radio Row experience for all three of us, which I thought was cool as well, for all of us to experience it together.
Yeah.
And the last thing that we just kind of like the show yesterday, because everybody's talking in this market about the game yesterday. We talked a lot about the other things, but I want to get your observations on the game itself, because look, like we said, it started out to be a clunker, and it finished being arguably the greatest Super Bowl of all time.
Yeah, you know, so watching it the first time, my initial thoughts were, well, and I thought about this when the Falcons went up 28-3. I thought, okay, let's see if they stay aggressive, or let's see if their buttholes tighten up and they allow the Patriots to get back into it. Because you're not going to keep Tom Brady out of the end zone like they had been doing. I mean, you knew at some point the Pats were going to put up a couple of points on the board at least. And my first thought by the end of the game was, yep, they didn't stay aggressive. They stopped being aggressive. I went back and watched it again this morning, and you know, they really didn't. I mean, throughout the entire game, the Falcons, for the most part, rushed four. They got to Tom Brady early, and they never really stopped doing that. I think the way they played defense was a little bit different at times. Early on, they were playing a lot of man coverage. They in the second half, they played a little more zone, which I think is what the Falcons were kind of known for, playing much more zone. So I think the man coverage probably threw the Patriots off a little bit early on. But they started playing zone a little bit more in the second half, but they didn't stop being aggressive. They still had the same front four that were rushing the passer and getting after it. But I think the difference is they started making a ton of mistakes. There was a point on – so I had basically five big plays that I thought really changed the way the Super Bowl went. And that was after the Patriots screwed up the onside kick, mm-hmm. Falcons went down. They were in field goal position. They went from a second and one on the 32 and in field goal range to having to punt because of a hold and a sack. That was early. Not at the end. That was early on. Right. So that cost them 3 points. And then the Patriots go down and score a field goal off of that punt. So that's a 6-point swing right there. Second play was the Matt Ryan fumble. Obviously, that was huge. Mm-hmm. They had that gave the Patriots the ball on their own 25. A couple plays later, they score a 2-point conversion. And then after that Julio Jones catch that we talked about earlier on the 23, Ryan gets sacked. That takes them out of field goal range. And then they get backed up again on the Matthews hold. And so that takes them out of field goal range. So now there's 3 more points that they've lost. So now you're talking about a 9-point swing total. And then obviously we know what happened after that, the amazing Edelman catch. And so it wasn't that the Falcons stopped being aggressive. They just made a ton of mistakes to shoot themselves in the foot.
Well, let's think about this. They stopped being smart. They only ran the ball 4 times the rest of the game after they went up 28-3.
Right.
And in one of the cases you're talking about, which is the one that Nick and I were in agreement on, and I think to some degree Trapp actually agreed on that one too, was after Julio Jones' catch.
Yep.
If you just run the ball into the center of the line and you kick a field goal, it's over.
Totally agree.
It's over.
Totally agree. And that was twice they could have done that.
That's correct.
There was twice they could have done that.
They didn't let up on defense in terms of being aggressive, but offensively they could have. You know, maybe it was decision making.
They played dumb.
Yeah. Maybe it was decision making.
And that's good luck, Niners. But no, I mean, I think the Niners fans kind of went, oh boy.
Yep.
Oh, listen, I'll take a coach that gets that kind of offense all the way to, you know, 2.5 quarters into the Super Bowl dominating.
Now, I'm
good with that because, listen, it's Tom Brady, guys. You have to play a perfect game to beat Tom Brady.
They are
in the
never
Super Bowl.
Out of it. And I saw it during the regular season as well. They overcame so many deficits because of the fact that it's not just Tom Brady. It's Brady. It's Belichick. There's a sense of belief with every guy on that team that they're never completely out of it. But the one thing, first of all, I do agree totally with Travis, and I went back and watched it last night. There is no doubt that defense was gassed. They just ran out. They ran out.
Wasn't it like 96 plays?
Yeah.
They were on.
And Travis said on average it's about 60, 63.
Yeah.
So the fact that they went 93 plays, and again, like you said, and it's against Tom Brady, and like I said yesterday, it's not like you get a playoff if you're a receiver and it's a run play. These guys are running across the field, trying to make plays, expected to cover their side and then also help out on tackles. And they're going. And it's not like, oh, that was a play, and then we got to rest, and then there was a punt. No, those are 4 or 5 if it's a drive. And look, we all talked yesterday about the fact that even when they didn't score, when Blunt fumbled or when he threw the pick, those were sustained drives that just didn't end up in points for the Patriots. That's why time of possession and all the and the amount of plays were so heavily favored in the way of the Patriots. That defense was phenomenal in the first half and just ran out of juice.
Yeah, without a doubt. And then I saw something that was pretty interesting where it said Atlanta's final 4 possessions of the game, punted 3 times and lost a fumble, gained a total of 44 yards.
You're
not going to beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl doing that.
No.
You're just not. And so credit, you know, to the Patriots' defense. They made plays when they had to. They got lucky on a couple of holds when they needed it. But they got sacks and they forced some turnovers down the stretch. And they just, I mean, they outplayed the Falcons.
You say lucky because the foul was committed and they caught it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they got lucky because of the hold.
Just checking.
Yeah, because him and Joel and Trapp were going at it yesterday about whether or not those were actually holds.
Pretty hard.
Which one?
The one on Matthews where he, I don't want to say what he did because then I'll be leading the witness, but the one where Matthews got caught, yes.
On the last, he tackled him. He literally put him in a sleeper hold like he was the Iron Sheik.
Joel was trying to tell Trapp that yesterday.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what side you were on.
Yeah, he wasn't buying it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, he literally, all he had to do was put the other arm on top of the helmet and go, shh, go night. And it would have been a sleeper.
That's exactly what I called it. I called it a sleeper hold, yes.
That's literally.
Now, I will say this.
That's a sleeper hold. That should be an extra 5 just for an illegal wrestling move.
I know that people were bringing up in the first half the fact that the one New England drive was elongated because of 3 third down holding penalties in the secondary. 1 by 23, 2 by number 34. Look. Maybe one of them was a little bit questionable, but every time a referee sees a jersey grab, the flag's coming out.
Well, I think what he was saying, too, was like he's seen officials time and time
again. In regular season, they let that go.
But do you know they let that go or do you know that they didn't see it? You know, that's my question. Like, do you know that they really let it go or did they just maybe didn't see the hold? Some of them is because they just didn't see the hold, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you gotta see. Okay, here, let me see if I get this right to what you're saying. You have to see it to call it. You can't just assume that it happened.
Exactly.
Yeah. And here's the other thing that I pointed out. In the Edelman catch, which was phenomenal, not enough credit was given to the official with the naked 100%. Eye that got it right as it happened.
Yeah, he came running in and called
was
it a
adamant.
Catch. And, yeah.
I immediately tweeted out, that hit the ground. And then 10 seconds later, I'm like, oh, never mind, it didn't
delete,
hit the ground.
Delete, delete.
I didn't delete it.
You're one of the guys that I forgot to send the tweet to because you didn't do it as often. But everybody that was doing Twitter play-by-play of the game, I kept tweeting, who needs Joe Buck? We don't need a national broadcast. Yeah.
Joel's all hating on everyone.
Well, because there's so many local news guys that are going, Brady just completed an 11-yard pass to Edelman. It's now first and 10. I can see that, you idiot. Tell me, like, if there's a fight on the sideline, or tell me if, like, something...
he hates play-by-play.
I don't need play-by-play on top of people that are paid to be play-by-play.
You know, my defense,
I'm kind of with him, though. I'm with him on this.
But I didn't do play-by-play. I just did, like... You know, like big plays, significant catches.
Because then you're clouding up my timeline.
But here's what you should do, Nick. If you're going to tweet, and I learned this, if you're going to tweet during games or fights, like UFC fights, don't tweet what everyone else is watching. Tweet your opinion on what happened.
Yes, that's
what I'm saying. That's what people want to listen to.
Absolutely.
But just saying Brady completed a pass, like everyone's like, yeah.
But see, that particular play, just because it was kind of questionable and in the naked eye, like in real time, it did look like it hit the ground. Just because the way it kind of bounced down and kind of bounced back up.
Yeah.
It looked like it hit the ground and bounced back up.
Yeah.
You know?
So we got a text from the guy that calls me Farva. You guys know that guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the one that hated me. He doesn't hate me.
He's not the only one.
Yeah, that hates me?
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
All right.
But he said, Farva, did you... nowhere to go. He was agreeing with me. Totally agree, Farva. I freaking hate Howie Long and his stupid haircut. I hate how Fox kisses his ass for some reason. He's a scumbag. Now, I didn't go that far. But there are people that agree with me that was unnecessarily over the top on him and his son and all that. But, hey, good for the Longs for getting the win. But, I mean, that there were other great stories that
they
could have
done
instead.
At least they didn't get the shorts.
It's true.
End of the stick.
It's true.
Yeah. Because you'd rather be long than short. In most cases. Hey, right now I want to tell you guys that I know that because you're spending so much of your day tuned into us while doing the things that you do on a regular basis, you're forgetting about Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day is right around the corner. Oh, by the way, it's next Tuesday. And you go, and you can't say what you say unless we're satellite. But at the same time, you're thinking to yourself, what the hell am I supposed to do now? Well, I got it covered for you. Sherry's Berries. Because you give the gift like no other, your loved one loves it, and you look like a hero when in fact you should be a goat and not the greatest of all time, but an idiot because you forgot Valentine's Day. But we all do it because we're guys. Here's what you do. With it less than 1 week away, Valentine's Day is on the calendar and she's got it circled. And if you haven't done anything about it, now you can. Don't wait until the last minute. You know what you need to do? Get on the online and get in touch with Sherry's Berries, and they're going to help you out. My wife loves Sherry's Berries. Why? Because it's fruit. It's big, plump, juicy, succulent strawberries. And also because she has a sweet tooth and she's a chocoholic, you get it dipped, those berries dipped in white chocolate, dark chocolate, covered in nuts. All the different fancy, swirly things that they do when they make these berries phenomenal. And they do it all for you. And all you got to do is just drop down a card. It's delivered before on Valentine's Day, on time, the right way, fresh as can be, and you look like a hero. It's a great way for you to get a win-win. Fresh dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries, starting at just $19.99 plus shipping. Today only, double the berries, just $5. They're even lowering the price on that. You get double the berries for just $5 more. All you got to do is head to berries.com, berries.com. And when you get to the upper right-hand corner where there's a microphone, you put in J blank. Put in J blank, and you get $5 more. For just $5 more, you get double the berries from Sherry's Berries, just to make sure you look like an even bigger hero during the Valentine's Day holiday. The berries are dipped in white milk and dark chocolate, like I told you, topped with chocolate chips, decorative swizzles, chopped nuts. You can send them to her work. You can send them to the house. You can do it wherever you want to do it. They'll take care of you, but you got to go to Sherry's Berries. It's just the only way to do it, and it's the easiest way to look like a hero. Berries.com. Enter the promo code JBlank in the right-hand corner, and you're taken care of. This amazing deal only today, so order now.
ESPN 97.5.